Jasodanandana Vrajajanaranjana Jasodanandana Vrajajanaranjana Jamuna Hiravana Chari Jamuna Hiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Dana Bandhava Girivara Dhari Gopitana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yasodanandana Vrajajanarandana Jasodanandana Vrajajanaranjana Jamunatheravanachadhi Jamunatheravanachadhi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Pad Paramahansa Parivedaka Charaja Astatara Sita Sisi Madhas Divine Grace Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samvira Bhaktavarinda Ki Nithai Gorpemanandi All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Text 11 That's good From Canto 5, Chapter 10, Maharaj Rahugana meets Jad Bharata. Jivan Ritatvam Niyamena Rajan Adyantavat Yad Vikritasya Drishtam Svasvamya bhavo druva idhya yatra Tar yuchate sau vidhikritya yoga Jivan mritatvam niyamena rajan Adyantavat yat vikritasya drishtam Svasvamya bhavo druva idya yatra tar hyucha te sa vividriksha. Tar hyucha te sa vidhikritya yoga. Jivan Ratatvam Niyamena Rajan Adyantavad Yad Vikritasya Drishtam Saswamya Bhavo Dhruva Idya Yatra Daryuchate Savidhi Kritya Yogaha. Jivan Mrtatvam Niyamena Rajan Adyantavad Yat Vitkritasya Drishtam Svamya bhava dhruva idya yatra kritya yogaha. Ladies. Jivan pratitvam niyamena rajan adyantavat yat Vikatasya Drishtam Svabhami Bhavo Dhruva Idya Yatra Daryuchate Savidhi Kritya Yogaha. Jivan Mrtatvam Niyamena Rajan Tavat Yad Vikritasya Drishtam Sasvamya Bhavo Dhruva Idya Yatra Jivat Mrtatvam. The quality of being dead while living. Niyamena, by the laws of nature. Rajan, O king. Adi antavat. Everything material has a beginning and an end. Yet, because. Vikritasya. Of things that are transformed, such as the body. Drishtam is seen. Sva Svami Abhavaha. The condition of servitude, servanthood, the condition of servanthood and mastership. Drovaha, unchangeable. Idya, O you who are worshipped. Yatra, wherein. Tarhi, then. Uchate, it is said. Asau, that. Vidhikritya yogaha. fitness of order and duty. Translation, my dear king, you have unnecessarily accused me of being dead though alive. In this regard, I can only say that this is the case everywhere because everything material has its beginning and end. As far as your thinking that you are the king and master and thus trying to order me, this is also incorrect because these positions are temporary. Today, you are a king and I am your servant, but tomorrow the position may be changed. And you may be my servant, and I your master. These are temporary circumstances created by providence. And the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The bodily conception is the basic principle of suffering in material existence. In Kali Yuga especially, people are so uneducated that they cannot even understand that the body is changing at every moment and that the ultimate change is called death. In this life, one may be a king, and the next life, one may be a dog, according to karma. The spirit soul is in a deep slumber caused by the force of material nature. He is put in one type of condition and again changed into another type. Without self-realization and knowledge, conditional life continues, and one falsely claims himself a king, a servant, a cat or a dog. These are simply different transformations brought about by the supreme arrangement. One should not be misled by such temporary bodily conceptions. Actually, no one is master within the material world, for everyone is under the control of material nature, which is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the ultimate master. As explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Britya. The only master is Krishna, and everyone else is his servant. Forgetfulness of our relationship with the Supreme Lord brings about our suffering in the material world. You know the storyline. Judd Barrett behaving as if he's a dullard, but actually brilliantly realized in transcendental knowledge, but purposefully detaching himself from any concern with the worldly circumstance, even when threatened with death. That came earlier, and he said nothing. Of course, Goddess Kali protected him because he is a dear devotee of her master, and she gave protection to him, and along with her fellow, whatever they were called, witches and associates chopped up the dacoits and played catch with their heads, got intoxicated drinking their blood and laughed like wild people. And so Judd Barrett was protected. Now, later on, he's in this situation where, as a
palanquin carrier of the king, and the king being really deeply in the bodily conception of life, threatening Judd Barrett, "You better get yourself in order or else, because I'm the king and you're the servant, and your position is to serve me because I'm the king and you're the servant." So then finally Judd Barrett speaks. And so this is a nice section of what commonly is called transcendental knowledge. There's a number of such like extended sections in the Bhagavatam, like, for example, the talks with Angira Muni and Narada to King Chitraketu. The elevating the consciousness of the soul above the conception of false ego or identifying oneself as the body. Another nice section is Hiranyakashipu, pacifying the relatives, Diti and all the others, at the death of Hiranyaksha, transcendental knowledge. And many places in the Bhagavatam, of course, because how can one go further in God consciousness if one is caught like the anchor down and the boat isn't going to move no matter how much rowing and sailing and motorboating, is not going to go anywhere if the anchor is down. And so if we're anchored in the bodily conception, one can't go further. Not only one can't go further, but then all of one's actions are ruled by ignorance of a real identity, ignorance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Embedded in the purport, the opening sentence and the closing sentence speaks of suffering. And the first one is, if one is in the bodily conception, this is the cause of suffering. And another is, one forgets one's relationship with the Personality of Godhead, the cause of suffering. So one follows the other. I mean, suffering follows suffering, but also ignorance of our own identity. Just was hearing a lecture yesterday where Prabhupada was saying Kali Yuga is so abominable that what to speak of forgetting the relationship with God, people don't even know themselves. Of course, but if you don't know yourself with a spiritual conception, how is it possible to understand God? And consider for just a moment religions that teach of God but don't adequately and comprehensively discuss the conception of the self as spirit soul. For example, one of the fastest developing Christian religions in the world, or religions in the world, is a Christian religion that teaches you get buried at death if you're a good Christian, and then when Christ comes again, the same body's going to resurrect, and you go on, you know, into heaven, living in that body that got buried into the earth. When they know very well that the body decomposes and it's just bones. Or another one, without naming the name, you've become a good one of us, and then, you know, you and your family and Fido and the turkey on the table is what you're going to experience in heaven. Same people, same bodies, same program. No aging, that's all, and no taxes, and, you know, no aches and pains. In the name of worship God. You know, it's really unfortunate. It's propagation of ignorance in the name of religion. It's really unfortunate, but very popular. Very popular. Very popular. Ignorance is very popular. It's like a pyramid. The base of the pyramid is really big, very popular. Ignorance, religion based upon ignorance. It's a contradiction, fundamental contradiction, but so be it. And then with that suffering, that's the first sentence and the final sentence of the purport. Or just go to our Bhagavad Gita. And the preliminary part to Krishna's instructing in Sankhya philosophy is Arjuna is giving what? He's giving moral arguments or ethical arguments about what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is right, what is wrong, what is religious, what is irreligious. Yes. Minus the conception of the soul. So the first thing that Krishna does is straighten that one out and makes it very clear. The duty has to be determined based upon the soul's being distinct from matter. We still acknowledge that there's covering of matter, but the duty is freeing the soul from the clutches of matter. That which will enhance that's what determines duty. So, Jed Bharat is giving transcendental knowledge. Now, I'm not at all a Sanskrit scholar, but I learned a couple of things. And there's two terms, the first line and the second line, that end in tvam, jivan ritatvam. Tvam means having the quality of, or as we would say in English, ness, like emptiness or happiness or sadness or somethingness. Tvam is having the quality of. So a living entity, jiva, who has the quality of being dead. So that's the first point. He's giving transcendental knowledge. Jed Bharat is giving transcendental knowledge to the king. The king, in the bodily conception, has said, you're like a living being that's dead. You can't carry the palanquin properly. What's wrong with you? So you have spoken like that, but the fact is, not only this body is dead, but all bodies are dead. And for you to think that the body is life, my dear king, this is a misconception. And then, adi, anta, vat. Vat means having the quality of. Like, we have the term Bhagavan, having the qualities of having bhagas, one who possesses bhagas, having the quality of possessing bhagas, or acharyavan purusho veda, acharyavan, one who has shelter in acharya, acharyavan. So this is adi, anta, vat, having the quality of a beginning and end. So that's a continuation of this first. Anything. What is it? Adi anta vat yad vikritasya drishtam. Anything that you see has this quality of having a beginning and having all matter has its beginning and end. It has that. But it has that quality of a beginning and end. So as that which is appears to be alive, like a spirit soul within a body and now it's alive, it has a beginning and it has an end. Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. Everything that is born, death is certain. Everything that has a beginning is certain to have an end. So now there's something that's distinct, that's the soul, that doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. And transcendental knowledge, like chapter 2 Bhagavad Gita, as Krishna is instructing Arjuna, there's something that doesn't have a beginning and end, and that's us. But if one identifies the body as the self instead of that which has no beginning and end as the self, then that's false ego. So anyone who thinks like that, my dear king, yourself, you're an illusion. It's wrong. It's a mistaken conception. So he's correcting the king. And it's appropriate that a brahmana may philosophically correct the king. He's correcting the king. You're mistaken. And then the second thing is the role that we may play in life. You know, we have a body. It's not who we are, but we have a body. And having the body, we have a certain nature, psychophysical nature. Having a certain psychophysical nature, this is called, our language is upadhi. Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmuktam. This Monday morning, it's tough. People are having a hard time staying awake. What does upadhi mean? Keep you awake. Someone raise your hand and say, what it means? Huh?
Title?
Designation. Could you explain? This is to keep everybody awake session. Could you explain what designation means? Designation means? Speak loud enough so the people in the back can hear. Designation means?
Like Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya kept his title, Bhattacharya.
Okay, Bhattacharya is a designation. Someone else would like to help us understand. What does designation mean? Dayata, what does designation mean? When you think of giving up designations, what does it mean?
Like identifying yourself as something
Yes. else. Because I have this particular body, my designation is I'm a man. And over there, there's another kind, women. And I'm wearing this color, so I'm a sannyasi. You're wearing that color, so you have another designation. Bhattacharya is a specific designation amongst the brahmanas, a vastly learned. So it's a designation. Identifying oneself as those things, that's what upadhi means. Not just to have one. So, you know, we accept a role in this life. I'm da-da-da-da. And so I behave according to da-da-da-da. It's a role. I accept the responsibility of behaving appropriately according to that role. But that's not who I am. So it's okay to have some identification in terms of the body while knowing it's not who I am. Like, there's king, and there's the subject of the king. That's a designation. So I can function as the subject of the king, or I can function as the king and interacting with subjects. But it's not who I am. So that's what the second thing that's being... This is transcendental knowledge. Identifying the self with the body, that's a mistake. And carrying out the consciousness of this is who I am and acting in that way of this is who I am, that's also wrong. Because, as is said, vikritasya, you see that word in the second line? Vikritasya. Vikritasya means, without looking, anybody know? Yes, that which transforms. That which transforms. For those of you that like to know things a little, like, you know, a little abstraction from this, it is said that the philosophy of Vyasadeva is exactly that. His philosophy is Shakti Parinamavad is a teaching that says all things are but parinama, they're but transformations, or vikritasya, transformations of energy. Energy transformed. That's Vyasadeva's teaching. So what's this? It's Krishna's energy, temporarily a building. Before it was something else, and after it's going to be something else, and now it's has this designation, a building. But there's it's always, it's anta, adi and anta. And in between, it has this designation. But even as we sit here, as Jitendriya, it's always being transformed. And so you have to like put it back together again and repair it and put it, you know, but then you knowing that just like Shraddha said, she had her, you know, her surgery, and the doctor said, well, the new part that's in your body is good for whatever it was, 10 years? How many years? 25. I thought she said 10. So like, you know, okay, we put a replacement part in your body, and it's just, sorry, the technology is old and it's only going to be good for 10 years. That's what she told me. And she was smiling. But, you know, the body is temporary anyway, so whether it's, and you know, and in 10 years you can have another surgery because, or however long it's going to last, because it's only temporary. So not only the parts of the body, but the body and the whole shebang. It's now you see it. Don't look the other way because now it's gone. Now you see it, now you don't. It's like a magician. You know, the rabbit trick. Here's a hat. Nothing inside the hat. Pull the rabbit out of the hat. Look at, here's the rabbit. Then you put the rabbit back in the hat, there's nothing in the hat. Now you see it, now you don't. It's Krishna's, it's Shakti Parinamavad. It's just that, of course, not what magicians do, it's something else, but what Krishna does, the transcendental magician, he just transforms his energies. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, according to his will. But then that's also according to the living entity's guna and karma, their desire and their deserve. So one may be king and another lifetime be a dog. Sometimes Prabhupada made reference to the statement that one prominent astrologer in India made an astrological calculation about Nehru, Prime Minister, that his life after being Nehru, he became one of two dogs in Sweden. From Prime Minister to dog. Now, whether that happened or not, Prabhupada didn't say that's what happened. He said, there is one astrologer who said. But to give the indication that today is this and tomorrow is that. That's vikritasya. Adi anta vat yad vikritasya. Drishtam. It's seen that this is what happens. So today and then tomorrow. So please don't think of yourself, my dear king, as king. Rajan, O king. And then the third point that he's making in transcendental knowledge is very important, and that is there's one who's overseeing all of this temporariness, adi antavat. And that's the permanent. It's just indicated very gently as Dhruvam, Sva, Swami, Swamya, Bhavo. So Swami is master, right? Swami, like the husband is sometimes identified like that as Swami, for the wife. It's how Lord Chaitanya spoke to Vallabha, that one who doesn't respect Swami, meaning Sridhar Swami and the commentary of Sridhar Swami, one who does not respect Swami is like a prostitute. A wife that doesn't respect her husband, that wants to supersede her husband, this is like a prostitute. Saying, Vallabha, don't think that you want to... This is a contaminating mentality to think I'll make a better commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam than Sridhar Swami. This is like the mentality of a prostitute. The Swami means master. Sva, Swami, Bhavaha. This translation is the condition of servanthood and mastership. There is one, and the line is Idya. Idya means worship, or the worshipable, one who is to be worshipped. Oh, you who are to be worshipped. That's Krishna. Because the changing position, we act in a role where there's respect, because we're to respect every living entity. We're to respect even an ant. What to speak of a person? What to speak of a superior person? You know this example from the final purport of Chapter 5, Bhagavad Gita, where Prabhupada writes, it's discourteous to not respect a superior. It's totally condemned if you don't worship Krishna. It's culture. It's expected of, you know, a cultured person or a proper person that you respect a superior, even to respect all living entities, but at least respect a superior. But the devotional service is appropriate specifically to the personality of Godhead. So that means while respecting others, it's part of our service to the personality of Godhead. It's not separate from, it's part of our devotional service to Krishna. Or say it the other way, if we neglect respecting a superior, that's not devotional service, that's displeasing to Krishna. So we do because it's pleasing to Krishna, and we don't neglect it because that would be displeasing to Krishna. So transcendental knowledge can help bring one to, can help, doesn't create, can help bring one to the position of devotional service to Krishna. So that's what he's saying in this line. It's the unchangeable, worshipable Lord who is overseeing all the changing things. There is one, as Prabhupada is quoting in the purport, Eka Ishwara Krishna Arasabha Vritya. There's one who is the Arasabha Britya. Britya means servant. One who is the master and all others are the servant, and that's all of us. So my dear king, or my dear devotees, today there's a situation where somebody is this and somebody is that. And wait a while, and it could be quite a different picture, and that's okay. And all those circumstances, one is the worshipable. And together, we're cooperating, ideally, we're cooperating together with different functions and different roles and respecting one another in different ways to please Krishna. If you read carefully Nectar of Instruction, you'll find the same message embedded in Nectar of Instruction, where there's teachings or instructions how to respect, and with big letters, respect different persons according to their position. So we respect someone who's less advanced in a particular way. We respect peers in another way. We respect superiors in another way. And in all cases, there's worship of the personality of Godhead. So to be proper madhyamas, that's us, trying to be at least, respect and respect and respect. And never disrespect, because it can bring, it can destroy bhakti. Because it's an offense to Krishna to disrespect a devotee, isn't it? That's our teaching. Sadhu ninda. Disrespecting a devotee. Sadhu ninda. It's an offense to Krishna. Besides, it's an offense to the person. It's an offense to Krishna. Krishna doesn't like it. And we don't want to do things that Krishna doesn't like. So if we want to turn our attention again to Krishna, we don't do things that Krishna doesn't like. We do things that Krishna likes. And then there's this suffering condition. If we neglect to do things that Krishna likes or do things that Krishna doesn't like, there's this material energy that covers us. And the first dimension of that material energy that covers us is false ego. We forget who we are, and we forget Krishna's position. And we move along thinking whatever we're thinking. I'm the enjoyer. Or trying to be. I will get it together. I have my plan. Whoops, it didn't work. So I'll just adjust the plan. Whoops, it didn't work. I'll adjust the plan again. I'll keep trying. Very, Prabhupada used the phrase, dog stubborn or mule stubborn. Obstinacy. I'm going to keep trying. Rather than, like, the light goes on and says, well, wait a minute. Maybe I got the wrong program. Maybe I should get rid of this program and get another program. Dog obstinacy. And we suffer. So, just two other things, and I'm done. In embedded in the, I just some appreciation of how Prabhupada is presenting what Jed Bard is saying to Rahugana. He adds a sentence at the bottom that I couldn't find exactly anywhere in the verse. That is, these temporary circumstances are created by providence. The closest thing is this, the dhruva idya, this swaswami bhava dhruva idya, the circumstance of who's the master, who's the controller, who's the master, who's the servant, the swami and the servant of the swami, the master and the servant position. It's happening under the direction of providence, whatever our position is, and the changing of those positions, it's under the direction of providence, under Krishna's direction. So he says the same thing in the purport in two different ways. He says, the spirit soul is in a deep slumber caused by the force of material nature. Krishna doesn't have to, he doesn't have to be overtaxed, like every living entity. How many living entities are there? A lot of living entities. As I travel, it's just like astounding how many people are on the highway or how many people are in the airports. You know, it's like we're sitting here, but like going on out there, there's like a zillion people moving around. And it's not just in Chicago. It's all over the place. I think about the oil industry. Those guys must be really raking it in. Because people are depending on it to go zooming around in cars and airplanes. It's oil. Everybody's got to have some of it. And there's a lot of people that got to have some of it. And there's so many living entities. I could go on and on, you know, just visiting China. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They have domestic planes that are bigger than international planes. Those of you that have flown an international plane, they have the thing where there's two seats and then five seats in the middle and then two seats, like an economy. Get on a domestic plane in China and it's two seats and nine seats in two seats, or excuse me, three seats. I don't know what they got. They have a name for it. But it's like, it's fat. And every seat is filled. I mean, it's mind-boggling. Here's another one. Just, you know, there's so many people. Poor government. Got to keep track of everybody. And boy, do they keep track of people. They just don't fight wars. They put all their money in keeping track of people. What they're up to. Shoo. Anyway, I can give examples. The number of people is just mind-boggling. One time visiting in Shanghai, so I went from the airport to the place where I was going to stay. And one devotee who spoke English picked me up and, you know, took me, put me in a taxi cab, and we're driving literally for 45 minutes on one of those elevated highways, and on both sides it's skyscrapers for 45 minutes. You look at downtown Chicago, there's some skyscrapers. Not 45 minutes worth on an expressway. And in all those buildings, there's people. And, you know, on the streets, there's people. 45 minutes. All sky, you know, like lots of commercial stuff, but lots of residential stuff. And like very expensive. It's ridiculous. I can go on. It's like, it's ridiculous. For those of us that live in a big city, like New York or Chicago, we've seen lots of people. I've seen lots of people. It's nothing. It's peanuts compared to. And, you know, and God's got to keep track of all those people and all the little details of all their karma and all their desires. I mean, circuit overload with information. How many gigabytes do you have to keep track of all that data? All the living entities. And that's just people. And then there's all the living entities. It's mind-boggling. So Krishna does through the agency of his potencies, Maya Jakshena Prakriti. So through the agency of Prakriti, the deep slumber of the living entity is brought about. He doesn't have to do anything. He says, okay, boom, here's material energy. It's happening under his direction, but it's like remote control. He's not bothered by the whole thing. His expansions, Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So Krishna can enjoy his pastimes in Vrindavan with his loving associates. And then there's his energies, and they're all looking after the whole thing. Then again he writes, these are simply different transformations, Vikritasya, brought about by superior arrangements. So then there's demigods, and the demigods are deriving their power from Vishnu. And more immediately from Lord Brahma, who creates the demigods. I mean, there's a whole system for all this complex arrangement of the very complex material desires of a living entity, who are totally covered, or mostly totally covered, as he's saying, deep slumber and forgetfulness of their identity and their relationship with Krishna. And this causes suffering. So why is one of the phrases that I heard Prabhupada say over and over, so it stuck, the root cause of suffering is ignorance. Say it again. The root cause of all suffering is ignorance. And so ignorance, its antidote is knowledge. Knowledge removes ignorance, which removes suffering. But knowledge that's not just theoretical knowledge, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita purport, where there's not even a chance of once again engaging in fruitive activity in the bodily conception. That's required. So how do you get there? Bhagavad Gita discloses that in a number of places, but if you recall, I'm sure you recall, chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna wants to know what's knowledge, what's the object of knowledge, Gyanam and Gayam. So when he gives the items of knowledge, you note takers can take note, it's chapter 13, text 8 through 12. Items of knowledge. And in the first paragraph, Prabhupada explains, of all the items of knowledge, one is chief. Mayi chananya yogena bhaktir avya bicharini. It's a long phrase, but it's knowledge is Krishna, who can be accessed through avya bichari bhakti, undivided devotion. That's knowledge. One who has that knowledge gets all the other items of knowledge. But how do you get that one? Mayi chananya, by accepting a spiritual master, by the shelter of a spiritual master, acharya upasana. It's another one of the items of knowledge. Put those two things together and all other knowledge will follow. And look at the other items of knowledge and what do you find? They're qualities. The person in knowledge, just like Kyanika Pandit, you know, the real symptom of a learned person is, and he speaks of character. He doesn't speak of, you know, they're walking encyclopedia. The know-it-alls kind of people. We know those kind of people. And quite often, my experience is, they don't have very good character. But that's not what knowledge is in any case. Knowledge isn't just information or encyclopedic know-it-alls. I mean, New Yorkers, they pride themselves in being know-it-alls. I've had my experience. They like to take the position of knowing something about everything and not knowing anything properly. Well, whoops, that's my commentary. But they're very keen on information and flaunting it. But that's not what knowledge is. These items, mayi, cha, ananya yogena bhaktir, avya bicharini, undivided devotion to the personality of Godhead, flowing from association or shelter in a qualified teacher, acharya, upasana. And that's how knowledge can unfold, and then ignorance can be removed, and suffering can be finished, and the right position of the soul be restored. Boom, 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 like domino effect. That's what Rahugana is doing. He didn't speak before. Well, there's probably several reasons, but one of them, obviously, is he saw in the king the capacity to hear. And sure enough, the king heard. And then he went, wow, no, who are you? And can you say further? And he became uplifted. And there were other persons in the previous narration, they weren't so qualified. So Judd Barrett didn't speak. A little selective in who he spoke to. We're a little different. We go on Sankirtan and everybody gets a chance to get a book. You know, the ignorant and the mode of goodness people and mode of passion people. And, you know, when the ignorant people act ignorantly, that's okay because we gave them a chance at least. And carry on. And you'll find the more mode of goodness people. But a good part of how people are ignorant and passionate has to do with, you know, the atmosphere in which they find themselves. And so they succumb without good association to the lower modes of nature. Like here, Jed Bharat, the king is, he's passionate, and he's proud, and he's ignorant, and he's foolish. So Jed Bharat is giving him, for the first that we know of anyways, that he's speaking anything intelligible, he's speaking transcendental knowledge to a qualified recipient, and it bears fruit. So hopefully from our reading of what Jed Bharat says to Rahugana, it'll bear some fruit. Hopefully. Any comments or questions?
Thank you for your class, Maharaj. Something that I gleaned from the class.
That something that what?
That I gleaned.
Something that you what?
Glean.
The word gleaned?
Yes.
Okay.
From the class is the importance of Acharya Upasana for being able to connect to Krishna and develop knowledge. So, but you also mentioned the point of culture and respect as a general quality of one who has knowledge.
Yes.
Or is able to move in that direction at least.
Yes.
So, culture in one sense seems like an external thing, but not in a working definition, it seems like. So, because it comes across that way sometimes.
Well, it's maybe how we think of things, but that's not what culture means. Culture, you know, like, culture doesn't mean Bharatanatyam dancing and somebody that plays classical music. You know, the Chicago Philharmonic is culture. That may be a manifestation of culture, but where is that? What's swabhava? It comes from some quality. Swabhava, one's nature. The exhibition of something comes from someplace. From swabhava, the modes of nature with which one associates determines the exhibition of something. Morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in Central Park, New York City. Those of you that know a little bit about New York City. 72nd Street cuts right through east and west to the middle of Central Park. So one time, the plan was to go drive in, because you can drive in the morning, cross 72nd Street, we all got out, and we got out in the east side, and around the east side there's this pond where, like a children's area, where they have a pond and children sail sailboats, and there's statues of storyteller people, William Wadsworth Longfellow and this one and that one and that one and that one. And so they would bring kids groups, and they sit beneath the statue of this one and read the story of this one to the kids while they sail their boats and, you know, the ducks and, you know. So we went around, and Prabhupada was commenting some things about that scene. And then he pointed with his cane and said, "What's that direction?" Because it was a trail. So we followed. We don't know, so we followed. And it goes up to the Museum of Modern Art. So we went up and up and up and came into this clearing. And there's this sculpture of just steel twisted all over the place. Then Prabhupada pointed with his cane and said, "This is the mind of the modern artist. All distorted and twisted." So the cultural presentation is describing something that's within. It's the inner culture. Brings about the, you can say, cultural presentation. Mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. Like music, mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness, according to the quality within. So when at least aside from how, you know, how it's maybe used in modern context, that the term of from Bhagavad Gita. Culture means the, you know, quality. Education means developing character or higher qualities. Character. So when, you know, you speak pleasingly, comes from the mode of goodness. It can't come just by behavior modification. Okay? Something else?
Thank you for class, Maharaj. False ego covering up our atma. Could you talk a little bit about the process of that uncovering? Is the false ego something that's always with us, we're always struggling with? Is it part of this material constitution?
It's part of the covering. It's not part of who we are. It's the first wrapper. And the other wrappers are you know, facilitating that one. So it's the root that from which comes other stuff, according to the modes of nature that we associate with. There's free will still operative when we're covered by false ego. We can choose this mode, that mode, the other mode. So the unwrapping or the unconditioning is the association with a qualified person, a transcendentalist, someone who has transcendental knowledge and they're imparting transcendental knowledge. It's vibrational. Through sound vibration, we associate with someone who's either situated transcendentally or on the path of becoming situated transcendentally. It's primarily through association, through sound. And then we have our receivers on. That's important too. The broadcaster, the transmitter, and the receiver. And then through that sound vibration, it acts upon the false ego. You know, there's other things that happen, like, you know, the intelligence, the discriminating factor that says this is this and that's that. Like theory, your soul, you're not the body. Okay, I can say it. I'm soul, I'm not the body. But it hasn't gone in yet because we still have other things going on where, you know, I still want to, there's a desire to enjoy independently from Krishna kind of thing, false ego. But it helps to have theoretical knowledge and then we have to act accordingly. And the acting accordingly comes from the strength of that association along with our effort to do so. That's the uncovering. Some effort from our side and mercy from the other side. That mercy is coming from Krishna ultimately through some instrument of Krishna. One who speaks the message of Bhagavad Gita, according to Bhagavad Gita, is very dear to Krishna. That person is acting as Krishna's instrument, an instrument that's very dear to him, or a person that's very dear to him, because they're acting as an instrument. They're just submitting oneself as an instrument of Krishna. It's not our eloquence, it's Krishna's message that's powerful. And the consciousness of the transmitter, not only the message, is important. So that's the process of uncovering, of the false ego whammy. And then, you know, from our side, continuing to, in submission to the teaching and to the teacher, to act accordingly. We cultivate anushilana. We cultivate according to the teachings and fidelity with the teacher, the relationship that we have with our teacher, the submission that we have to our teacher, and then in turn his teachings. Then we can get out of you know, the false ego. And then we can continue to act in true ego, or I'm simply the servant of Krishna, like that. We continue to act with the same body, the same mind, the same set of senses. But it's with submission to Krishna through the agency of representatives of Krishna. And that's a nice position. And then one can become free from false ego. Okay? Someone else. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, Prabhu, for the discussion. I have a question about reincarnation.
Reincarnation?
Yes.
Okay.
So let's see if I get my thoughts together. Several hundred years ago, they were all...
A little further away, yeah. You have a strong voice, which is good.
Several hundred years ago, we had only millions of people living on the planet. And today, we have billions of people living on the planet.
Okay.
So my question is, if the soul precedes and animates the body, where are all these new people coming from?
There's souls can just move from this body to that body. They came from some other body, and now they're in this body. Here's a little example. Once upon a time, there wasn't this building. What was here? Forest. How many living entities? A lot. You know, besides the trees, all the living entities. Now, where'd they go? And now here we have a building, and how many living entities taking up this space? A lot fewer. A lot more in the human form, but a lot fewer in all the other forms. There's still like mice downstairs and other little creatures zooming around here. But nothing like a forest. So they just got displaced and now it's another kind. That's just one little sample. You know, take the bigger picture, and there's not living entities coming into being. Krishna says that very clearly in chapter 2. Nor in the future world will they ever come into being. And it's not happening now. It's not souls coming into being in human bodies. It's just, you know, displaced from this place to that place. And it's a big universe. Not even just, you know, this square footage, this acreage. It's a big universe. Living entities are moving all the time, up and down and all over the place. Gokulananda. Can't hear you. It's not on.
No. We have different...
He always has really good questions. Yeah. You have to listen very carefully.
We have two different kind of self-realized persons in the scriptures. Like now we have Jada Bharat, who it's externally he is completely detached from the body.
Yes,
and then we have another personalities like Ambarish Maharaj, who are playing roles in society, but still we consider them self-realized. Or like Srila Prabhupada, he was a grihastha. So my question is, how do we approach, how is the attitude of the bhakta toward the detachment of the body?
Towards the?
Detachment of,
attachment.
Of the body. For example, in eating and dressing. Because sometimes we hear that a devotee should be detached from eating and be careful, eat very less. And not be concerned with externalities, but at the same time we see that devotees who are very advanced, and we understand them to be in a self-realized position, they also have to take care of, they are conscious of their body, and they take care. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was having massage. And so I see sometimes the devotees, if someone is very neglectful of the body, they say, oh, he's very detached from the body platform. And maybe another devotee will be, is taking care of the body. So if you can like, explain what is the, how the bhaktas should, the attitude of the bhaktas toward that, the attachment of the body in order to.
What does Rupa Goswami teach?
Oh, he teaches the first instruction.
Anasaktasya Vishayan Yartaram Upanyanjitaha Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagya Uchate. We are followers of Rupa Goswami, and so we take his words as gospel, or, you know, that by which we should guide our lives. So either this way or that way, meaning either if one does those things like someone who's taking care of their body, it should be done in the mood of anasaktasya vishayan, without any attachment for sense gratification. What does that mean? Simply for the sake of carrying out service to Krishna, period, and not more. Motivation-wise and quantity-wise. Not excessive, not insufficient, but for that purpose and that much only. And then there's neglect. Let's look at Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Neglect. So much neglect that he became blind. The way that he lived his life, we would die if we lived our life the way that he lived his life. We're not to imitate that kind of. But someone may go in that direction. And provided they're not deteriorating their, you know, from the Yukta Vairagya principle, it's provided they're not deteriorating their health by neglect, because that can happen, then that's fine. Raghunath Das Goswami, the level of renunciation exhibited by Raghunath Das Goswami, we couldn't live. We would die. But his life was being sustained. Prabhupada explained it was being sustained on spiritual strength. We don't have the spiritual strength. Take, you know, advice of your spiritual master and how to observe Ekadasi. In Chaupati, there was a tendency for, you know, going that way, the renunciation way. And he put his foot down. I mean, I was there when he put his foot down. It was a loud thud when he put his foot down. About, you can do fasting, but not to the degree that you can't perform your service, your preaching service, or your kitchen service, or your whatever service. And therefore, you know, proportionate to one's capacity, not too much, but not too little either. And then, you know, then sessions where groups of devotees would, with himself present, I was there when he was doing, chanting extra rounds together in a nice room, in a nice place. And so that absorption in the spiritual sound vibration could take place, but not at the expense of preaching. So there's a practical example of, I think, what you're asking. If one has the capacity to go that direction in the detached from the body position, it should not be at the expense of service. Because that's the essence is our service, and the essence of our service is the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On all of the things that we do is towards that end, even whether it's on the altar, it's helping, or in the kitchen, or cleaning the floor, or going out the door, or whatever it is. It's to assist the Sankirtan, because we meet people and then they come and see the deity and for our own purification and so on. So not at the expense of service. That's our instruction. That's our standard by which we can live our life in the detachment matter. So one can do the regulation of exercise and diet and stuff towards that end, but, you know, for the purpose of carrying out our service and not in some other, you know, and now I have a license to be an enjoyer of my senses. It's authorized. Not like that. That help? Okay. Anything over here? Okay. Looks like we're done. Thank you very much. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai.